Well, here we are at the start of a brand new month, and it's also the start of a brand new Globe Theater season, their 60th anniversary celebration. And over on the Rawlinson main stage this week, a new offering called The Master Plan. It's directed by Jennifer Bruin, who is with me now to entice you to return. Good morning, Jen. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
In the show description, it says it's a satire that transforms civic bungling and corporate ambition into a cautionary tale of our times. I have one question. Is this based on our present mayor and city councilors, Jennifer?
Not at all.
Okay. All right. I was just checking. But really, what's it about then?
It's based on the book Sideways by Globe and Mail reporter Josh O'Kane. It's the story of Google's big, bold, and wildly controversial bid to create a smart city on Toronto's waterfront. Google's dream and the people at Waterfront Toronto came together because they all had this dream to make cities more livable and more exciting and more efficient and taking out the middleman of city hall and bureaucracy. So it had all these fancy, fun, futuristic plans that would make things easier. It created a colossal anxiety amongst the people of Toronto, and eventually the project shut down.
Well, it's an incredible story, and the cast that is involved here, some of the faces we've seen previously. It is a comedy, so I know we got a top-notch cast for this.
Oh my goodness. The actors in this city are so based in improv and comedy that I thought this is a great play for them because they're also, you know, really smart. So Jaden Pfeiffer, Judy Wenzel, Jennifer Fong, who was in Peter Pan last year, Bongani Musa, are hilarious. And then we've got Alex Posh-Golden from Winnipeg, who has been in television shows, and he and Lisa Bayless, cowering veterans of Canadian theater. Such an ensemble company. And Greg Ottawa, oh my goodness, Greg plays the main character, Dan Doctoroff, with just this searing wit and intensity.
Okay, you've got me. It sounds like a great production so far. Globe Theater's artistic director, Jennifer Bruin, with me. How important, though, is the lighting and set design in this production, Jennifer?
Well, it's like another character in the play because the play is about technology and high tech and how to make cities more efficient through technology. So we've incorporated that into the production. So I think Globe Theater goers are going to see the stage lit up and come to life in very new ways.
Does the look of the show benefit from our new theater remodel?
Oh my goodness, it's so cool. A lot about this play really is, I wouldn't say it's autobiographical about building the new Globe and the renovated Globe, but we certainly recognize the challenge of a bunch of different people coming together to build something really important. So the Globe just looked beautiful with all this technology attached to it. And yeah, it's looking really good.
All right. This show, The Master Plan, runs till October 19th. Then we get a bit of a reset before Christmas Carol begins in late November. And I was curious, was a Christmas Carol chosen for Globe's 60th anniversary for any particular reason?
I've loved this adaptation for a long time. It's just got this really cool approach to it that it's still the traditional story 100%. It's just not so sentimental. It's funny and it's charming and it's human and it shows off the Christmas spirit and the redemptive power of Christmas and family and community, but also contemporary at the same time.
Jennifer Bruin, my guest. So bringing it back to the master, who's your audience on this one, The Master Plan?
The Master Plan is a workplace comedy. Anybody who is dedicated to their work, who loves public life, believes in public life, in city planning, you don't even have to love it. I chose Master Plan because I thought the people of Regina really know what mega projects are like and mega projects going awry. But it's also because downtown is in such flux now and there's so many smart people getting together trying to figure out how to make downtown dynamic and vital. And this play shows off people really dedicated, trying really hard to figure out a way to solve some very big contemporary issues. And of course, coming together with different perspectives and different motivations can create great comedy.
Now and the future, Globe Theater is such an important piece of the fabric of our downtown community. So it's kind of cool that you've integrated this first production, The Master Plan, in that way. And I really respect everything you do, Jennifer, and the cast and crew. It sounds amazing. So let's pack the joint up in the coming days.
Yeah, everyone's going to have a good time on it because even if you don't like Toronto, you can have a good time laughing at Toronto, too.
Don't we love that? Yeah. Go Blue Jays, though. Go Blue Jays.
Go Blue Jays.
All right, Jennifer. Thanks for your time. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys.
I'm just having fun on the stage in my heels. It's where I belong.
NHL season starts next week, and if you recall, last year during the playoff run, the Oilers used that song in the dressing room to celebrate victories, and I don't know, perhaps you also remember, too, how the Panthers, after they beat the Oilers, they played that song loud in the dressing room after they had won the Stanley Cup again, but perhaps we'll get a little more insight into why the Oilers were wanting to use that song, and a little more, because season two of Face Off inside the NHL drops today on Prime Video. And this is the series where they mic up the players. They have cameras follow them everywhere before, during, after games. Remember that soundbite a couple of years ago of Connor reading the Riot Act during that first cup run against the Panthers? That was the series that brought us those moments. And in this new promo, they share something you may never have known about Sidney Crosby. They show him working out in a room where the wall in front of him is covered with captains from previous years, all hoisting the Stanley Cup. And Crosby shares the reason behind it.
I always put the winning captain.
Okay. That's the tradition.
That's who goes up there. Yeah, like when we lost in 08, you know, I just wanted that as a reminder. So I started doing that, kept putting them up and leave the empty one there.
Yeah, he has an empty frame as inspiration for himself to get his own picture up there again, too. Season 2 of Face Off inside the NHL drops today on Prime Video. It's October the 1st. Minimum wage has shot up a whole 35 cents in our province, $15.35 now. Ontario, PEI, Nova Scotia, Manitoba also increasing, but Manitoba, I think, is $16 an hour. Ontario, $17.50. Alberta, still the lowest. They haven't changed their rate of $15 an hour for the last 8 years. In fact, if you're a student under 18 there in Alberta, you only make $13 an hour. That's their rule there. We always hear about rental affordability. It's a major problem across the country, and there's this website that shows how much Canadians need to earn to afford apartments in neighborhoods across the country. And when you use the site to check it out here in Regina, for instance, to get a two-bedroom rental apartment, you would need to make a little less than $27 an hour. So on minimum wage, you'd have to work roughly 92 hours a month at our minimum wage in order to pay for a two-bedroom rental in Regina. Look, before I break, I want to take just a second here to congratulate Trent Dickin and his team over at Flooring Superstore. They're at 2425 Park. Trent and the team celebrating 20 years in the business. That's awesome. They love to support local. They're always supporting local sports like Red Sox, Rams, our Regina Pats, and curling, and a terrific bunch of people over there. So I just want to say thank you on behalf of Rolco Radio for always being a great partner, too. But to Trent and the gang there, Rhonda, Kevin, Grant, Ryan, Todd, Joe. Happy anniversary. 20 years. That's pretty remarkable. All right, let's see what Shake and a Rider practice. They got back to preparing for the Red Blacks on Friday night in Ottawa. CJME Rider reporter Britton Gray joining me now with an update. Good morning, Britton.
Good morning.
I hear there were a few vets missing yesterday, but Coach May said it was kind of like a vet day. Is that the case?
Yeah, that's the case of Marcus Sales. He was out there for kind of before stretch, but after stretch, he wasn't participating, so he's very limited. And then Brett Lauther is an interesting one. On the injury report with a back injury, so didn't participate. So that will be one to monitor if indeed Campbell Fair gets a chance this weekend because Brett's dealing with an injury. So something to do there. And obviously no Tavon Campbell quite yet. But good news as well, Kean Schaefer-Baker, he's looking really good out there. He's looking like he's ready to return to the lineup this week. And so that's a boost to the offense.
Yeah, well, there was a move at safety. Tell everyone about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Kostya Onyeka was released by the team. Of course, he started the past three games for the Riders. Corey May said this team has a standard on and off the field, and it wasn't met. So interesting as that was the reason for the release of Onyeka. And then so C.J. Revis moving back to safety, Antoine Brooks Jr. at the Sam linebacker spot. And now that's going to be interesting because they take out a Canadian starter. Well, where do you find it along the ratio? I think they're going to make use of that kind of a designated nationalized American rule where a certain player can only come on and play a certain amount of snaps as a Canadian. And it might be along that defensive line. All he saw, the team's first-round draft pick, was out there with the starters along the defensive line. So maybe Micah Johnson only comes in for a certain amount and doesn't figure it out. But it's an interesting move to be made at this point in the season as the team still deals with those injuries to Jackson Ford and Nelson Lacombe and Tavon Campbell.
Britton Gray is with me. Green Zone callers seem to be hitting the panic button after the last two losses when I was listening after the game the other night. So, Britton, I don't think I'm ready to hit the panic button until they lose to Ottawa. And that can't happen on Friday, but maybe then the panic button should be spoken of. What about you? What do you feel?
Yeah, a loss to the Elks will really do that, won't it, Greg?
Yeah.
A little bit of panic, but not quite yet. Yeah, the Elks are battling. That's a different team than maybe what you've seen over the past few seasons here now that Cody Fajardo's there. But no panic yet, though, as you mentioned. If they do lose to Ottawa, a team that's looked terrible all season long, and the West Division gets even tighter, then that's when the panic button maybe gets... I don't know if you're hitting it quite yet because they still do have a little bit of breathing room, but you definitely need to know where the panic button is and maybe bring it out of the drawer and have it ready.
Okay, and how is Ottawa looking right now? They made a few trades recently, but how do you feel about Ottawa right now?
I mean, they're a team that just feels lost, right? They've only won four games. Yeah, they're still technically in the playoff race, but that's going to be done right away here. They trade away Lorenzo Mauldin, who's one of the best pass rushers in the league right now. It looks like a mess over there, so that's why the Riders should be able to handle business. Ottawa, there's not a whole lot of positivity going on there.
Okay, Britton Gray, thank you so much for the update. We'll check in tomorrow.
Not a problem.
Well, we had 30 degrees yesterday. It's pretty windy, too. 55K wind gusts in the afternoon. Moose Jaw got up to 32. A few records broken. Kevin Martell with more on that coming up at the bottom of the hour. But this is it. First day of October. Thanksgiving now 2 weeks away. And, of course, what else is coming along? Open the door to Halloween. It's on a Friday night this time around, too, this month. We got a new season of the NHL starting next week. And, of course, the Blue Jays are on the run for the World Series. Jays fans watching that Red Sox-Yankees wild card race yesterday. Sox won 3-1. It's a best of three. So if Boston wins today, it's over, and the Jays would host the Sox on Saturday. And what else is there in October? We got the NBA tipping off October 21st. The CFL, there are four more games left for our Riders before playoffs. Globe Theater is celebrating its 60th anniversary this year, and has returned this month. The Master Plan opening up this week. And if you're just into just chillaxing, watching a little television, Saturday Night Live is back for their 51st season this Saturday. Grey's Anatomy is still going. It's back next Thursday, along with 911 Nashville premiering the same night. That show Tracker was a big hit last year. It's back on the 19th, too. So the month of October brings a lot of television and big movies, too. The Rock in this MMA flick called The Smashing Machine opens up on Friday, and Jeremy Allen White from The Bear, which I have not yet watched that series. Everyone says, oh, you got to watch it. Well, he is starring as Bruce Springsteen in Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere. That's coming out on the 24th this month. Jeremy just threw himself into the part. This is him singing, too. Yeah, and that movie opening up on the 24th. And Swifties, we get a new album. Her latest, The Life of a Showgirl, is out on Friday. Incidentally, Taylor Swift, I just read, has become the first female artist to surpass 100 million albums. She has sold 105 million and counting. She's now sixth on the all-time list behind the Beatles. They lead with 183 million. One day she'll probably catch the Beatles. And now that it's October, a lot of us spending a lot of time at the rink. Hockey returning, of course, now that evaluations are pretty much out of the way. Minor football wrapping up in the next few weeks. Volleyball playoffs will start soon at the high school level. And somewhere in between, we're going to have to find time to blow the sprinkler and the water lines out, rake some leaves, all the patio furniture into storage. But by the looks of it, you're going to need your patio umbrella the next few days here as the sun's still with us and pretty warm. Last night, Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert appeared on one another's shows. Jimmy, normally in California, he was in Brooklyn last night. In fact, he's there all week, and the two of them swapped stories.
Did you ever think the president of the United States would be celebrating your unemployment?
I mean, that son of a bitch, you know, is... Yeah, no, I never imagined that we'd ever have a president like this, and I hope we don't ever have another president like this again. I mean, I never even imagined there would ever be a situation in which the president of our country was celebrating hundreds of Americans losing their jobs. But somebody who took pleasure in that, that to me is the absolute opposite of what a leader of this country is supposed to be.
Now, Kimmel went on to say that, you know, when he got that call from Disney, they were pulling a show for the time being. He drove home with his wife from the studio. Paparazzi were following him, and there were helicopters in the air following him. Opens the front door. The kids greet him.
Two kids and our daughter, who's 11 years old, says, I can sell my laboo-boos. It was actually very sweet.
Oh, that's lovely.
Our son just got naked and started running around the house.
Also lovely. Who was the most unusual person that he got a text from? Because I got some fun ones. I got my high school girlfriend, and I heard from Jon Stewart and George R.R. Martin.
Wow. I heard from the usual, the Pope.
Solid guy.
I did hear from literally everyone I have ever met. I got a very beautiful note from James Taylor. I'd love to compare those because...
Did you really get one from JT?
I did. I want to see if JT did a cut and paste on us.
Yeah, Colbert actually admitted that James Taylor was one of the first to reach out to him, too. So that's why they were kind of joking about, did we get the same text from James Taylor? CJME News Time now is 827.